You'll find our scripture reading in the New Testament scriptures in the Acts of the Apostles and the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and we'll commence our reading at verse 1. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, and commencing to read from the first verse. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And, behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. But in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Ending our reading there at the final verse of that chapter, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us again seek the Lord in prayer before we come to the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we wait on in thy presence, in our Saviour's name. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee for grace given to us to worship Thee this day, to read Thy Word, to sing Thy praise. And O God, as we come now to the preaching forth of Thy truth, we are deeply conscious that we need Thee. Lord, I ask for that gracious infilling of the Spirit of God, so that the Word preached will be in the power of God. Lord, come this day and take Thy truth and write it upon the fleshy tables of our hearts. Oh, may we have grace to hide the Word in our hearts this day, lest we would sin against Thee. Lord, be pleased to give blood-bought liberty now in the preaching forth of Thine own Word. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. A right exposition and clear explanation of Scripture are certainly two very essential ingredients in any faithful preaching of the Word of God. To those two, I would add at least one more, and that would simply be a vigorous exhortation. An exhortation so that the words of counsel that we find in the Scriptures are strongly urged upon us. An exhortation that the word that we hear will be the word that we will obey to the glory of God. We find in many places throughout the Scriptures that there is that word of exhortation that is given. I think, for example, of Paul's letter to the Hebrew Christians. You will know that in his epistle to the Hebrews, he was setting forth the superiority of Christ, telling them that Christ was superior to Moses, superior to the angels, and so on. And then, right almost at the very end of his letter, in fact it's in Hebrews 13 and verse 22, we discover he says, "I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation." He had been exhorting them strongly that they would not yield to the temptation to go back into Judaism, but that they would indeed follow Christ and follow on the way that the Lord had so clearly and revealed in and through the Lord Jesus. Then when we come to the Acts of the Apostles, we discover, for example, in Acts chapter 14, where we have the record of Paul and Barnabas going forth, and in verse 22 we're told that they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them. Here we have the exhortation again, exhorting them to continue in the faith, to continue going on with the Lord. And here in Acts chapter 11, the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles that we were reading together, we discover that Barnabas has been sent forth by the church at Jerusalem, and he has been sent to Antioch. And we're told in verse 23 of Acts 11, who, that is Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. He comes with an exhortation. And the exhortation that he brings to them is found in the very end of verse 23 of Acts 11. And it's this, that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. That's his exhortation, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And it's this very exhortation that Barnabas gives to the believers here at Antioch that I want to consider with you for just a little while today. And as we do so, it will be important for us, first of all, to understand and take note of the the context in which this exhortation is given by Barnabas, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What were the circumstances that had arisen that made Barnabas come, and when he had seen the grace of God, he exhorts them in this manner? Well, let's get the basis of it all. We need to go back to verse 19 of the chapter, and we read there, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." So right away we can see that the whole basis for his exhortation that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, the whole basis of it is simply the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the word of God. And you'll notice we're not only told at the end of verse 19 about the preaching of the word, but in the following verse, in verse 20, we have these words, preaching the Lord Jesus. So there was the preaching of the word, or the preaching of the gospel, and in the preaching of the gospel, there was the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the simplicity of it all. And yet that was the sufficiency of it all. Because where there is any faithful preaching of the gospel, there has to be the preaching of Christ. And here there was the preaching forth of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the preaching that took place here at Antioch, it wasn't some kind of just a mere ritualism that had the language of Christ and really nothing else, no understanding. It wasn't some kind of mere formalism that may have had, we might say, the letter of Christ, but nothing more than that. No, this was real preaching, the preaching of the word, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the basis of the exhortation that Barnabas is giving when he had seen the grace of God. He's exhorting them to cleave unto the Lord, the one who was preached to them, and the one in whom they had believed. So that's the basis of it. But we need in the context just to notice the blessing that had attended the preaching of the gospel here at Antioch. Because there had been tremendous blessing that the Lord had given as his word had gone forth. You'll notice in verse 21, for example, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." The hand of the Lord was with them, that is, as they preached Christ. As they preached the word. The hand of the Lord. I suggest to you that there is the thought there of the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit at work as Christ was preached. It's clear that as Christ was preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. As the Word of God was proclaimed at Antioch, the word was proclaimed in the power of the Spirit of God, because the hand of the Lord was with them, and the hand of the Lord was with them to give them ability in the preaching that they did. The hand of the Lord was with them to give them authority, because they came to Antioch not in their own authority or with their own authority, but they were coming with all of the authority of heaven's King. And the hand of the Lord was with them, so that as the word was preached, as the gospel was proclaimed, as Christ was presented in all of his fullness and in all of his sufficiency, that there was in many, many hearts an acceptance of the message, not a rejection of the message. Not a rebelling against the gospel, but there was here truly a receiving of the message, and in a receiving the message there was a receiving of Christ. And in receiving Christ there was the receiving of salvation. You'll notice it says in verse 21, "The hand of the Lord was with them, and notice it's joined on. There's a link here. We cannot separate what the Holy Ghost has joined together. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number. A great number. We're not told how many, but a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And there we have two great doctrines of the gospel brought to our attention. The doctrine of repentance and the doctrine of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was faith and repentance that was wrought in the hearts of a great number of the people. And it was genuine. It was real. This wasn't any kind of sham. Because when they believed on the Lord. We're told that very explicitly there in verse 21. And when they turned, when they repented of their sin, they were forsaking their sin, they were turning away from their sin, they were turning unto the Lord. So the Lord was the one who was the focus of their attention here. What blessing had ensued. It's not surprising then that when Barnabas did come, that we read there in verse 23 that he saw the grace of God. He saw the grace of God, the grace of God that was evident in the lives of so many of the people who had turned from their sin and trusted Christ. And they did so in response to the gospel being preached, to Christ being preached. And the blessing of the Lord is evident. So much so that really, and we're still looking at the context of this exhortation that Barnabas gives to them to with purpose of heart cleave on to the Lord, there was really a broadcasting forth of that which had taken place. Notice in verse 22, then tidings of these things. What things? Well, what we've just been reading in the previous verse 21, about a great number believing and turning unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. It had been broadcast afar. Did you hear of what the Lord has been doing in Antioch? Did you hear about the Lord's blessing? And the great number of people who have got saved, who have turned to the Lord. And so they're hearing what the Lord has been doing. And remember that Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem, was the mother church. The mother church of gospel activity. The mother church at Jerusalem where the apostles resided. And remember, while the believers were scattered abroad and scattered here and there and yonder, nevertheless, the apostles remained at Jerusalem. And they get this news. And what do they do? Well, we're told in verse 22, they sent forth Barnabas. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Go from Jerusalem. Go and visit Antioch. In response to the report that has come to their ears of what the Lord has been doing. And then when he comes, he's exhorting in the manner here in our text that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. It's interesting to note the one whom they sent here to Antioch. The one who gave this exhortation that we're going to consider further in just a moment. Barnabas. Now, who was Barnabas? Well, we find in an earlier chapter in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. The son of consolation. a Levite. Note that. The son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Now we know from what we read in the Old Testament scriptures there in the book of Numbers that the Levite was one who was to have no inheritance in the land. Isn't that right? The Levites were not to have any inheritance in the land. And so we're looking here at Barnabas, this one whom the mother church at Jerusalem sent forth to Antioch in response to the report that had come of what the Lord was doing there. They're sending forth someone who's truly consecrated to the Lord. We could say, in the light of what we have seen back there in Acts chapter 4, that this one whom they have sent forth, Barnabas by name, the son of consolation, he's one who is not wanting to hold on to anything, but to give up everything for the Lord. In other words, we're thinking here of one who's wholly dedicated to the Lord. We're not looking here at someone who's giving this exhortation who's half-hearted. Who's half-hearted. The exhortation that you give, if you're just sort of half-hearted in the thing, it doesn't have much effect, does it? But there were words that went forth in the exhortation that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, but from the heart of the one who exhorts, namely Barnabas, there's a heart that's fully dedicated to the Lord, fully consecrated unto the Lord. And so when he does come here to Antioch, and he does give this exhortation, it's going to be very evident that he's not in any way half-hearted. Because if he had been, could you just imagine how discouraging that would have been to the believers at Antioch? They would have been greatly discouraged. And sometimes in the work of God, there is nothing that discourages like half-heartedness. Half-heartedness. But Barnabas is not half-hearted. Barnabas here is one who is truly, truly dedicated to the Lord. We noted there back in Acts chapter 4 that he was the son of consolation. Consolation. And here in our text in Acts chapter 11, in this 23rd verse, we have been focusing on the word exhorted, and exhorted them all. And that word that's translated exhorted there in our text in Acts 11 verse 23 means to console. Means to console. It actually means to give consolation. So he's coming here to Antioch and he's coming to bring consolation. He's coming to bring encouragement. Now we're also told concerning Barnabas in verse 24 that he was one who was full of the Holy Ghost. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And we know that the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. I want you to see the link and the connection here. The Holy Ghost is the Comforter. And the word that's used for Comforter in the Greek is akin to the word exhorted. So what's the link? What's the connection? The link or the connection is this, that being a spirit-filled man, filled with the Holy Ghost, he's going to be a source of consolation. He's going to be a source of encouragement to the believers at Antioch. That's the point that we need to get. Barnabas, filled with the Holy Ghost, coming with this exhortation. It's coming by way of comfort, by way of consolation, by way of encouragement to these believers. And we do need words of encouragement. Oh, there are the times when we need the word of rebuke, yes. The word of chastisement, true.
But there are also the times when we need that encouragement. And here is one, full of faith, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's coming to exhort the believers here at Antioch to cleave unto the Lord. Well, that's something of the context of the exhortation, but let's come in the second place just to examine the content of it. Let's examine the content of it for a moment. As he brings this exhortation to the believers, he's really setting before them what their duty is. And he tells them plainly and clearly that their duty is to cleave unto the Lord. Now, what did he mean? Well, the verb to cleave simply means to abide with, or to remain with. Or we could express it just to continue with. So what's their duty then? He's making it clear to them that their duty is that of abiding and continuing on with the Lord. That's their duty. Indeed, that's the believer's duty. That's every believer's duty. Is to abide and continue on with the Lord. Now, as he gives this exhortation and uses this verb to cleave, the tense of the verb gives us an understanding, more of an understanding of what this is all about. Because the tense of the verb indicates and speaks about the future. The future. So it's clear as he's coming with this exhortation to the believers at Antioch, he's not only thinking about the present, that particular moment in time, the present moment in time, when he was actually there giving them the exhortation. But as well as doing that, and that's no doubt included in his mind, he's thinking about the future, about the way up ahead. And he's exhorting them that they should cleave unto the Lord, that no matter what they face up ahead, no matter how rough the way may be ahead, no matter how difficult the way may be, no matter what unexpected circumstances may appear in the way ahead in the future, unknown at present, the exhortation is, look, you abide with the Lord, you remain with the Lord, you continue on with the Lord. And he's wanting them to do this with real strength of purpose. How do we know? Well, you remember those words that we have in Romans 8? Those who are the called of the Lord, they're called according to his purpose. His purpose. It speaks of the Lord's commitment to a given course of action. And therefore, Barnabas, as he comes to exhort them to cleave to the Lord, he's saying, you have to cleave with a very deep, holy resolve of heart. That's the point. Of heart. You notice that's included. That with purpose of heart. Just, he's saying, as the Lord is committed to that given course, in the outworking of his eternal purpose. So he's saying, you must be committed to this course as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. But you must be committed to this course with purpose of heart. Now, why did he say that? Couldn't he just have come with the exhortation and said, look, oh, with purpose, cleave to the Lord. Stay with the Lord, abide with the Lord, continue on with the Lord. But he wants to get this across to them. He says it will be surely, and it must be with purpose of heart. And he draws their attention to their hearts. Because he knows, and we know from Scripture, that whatever has got our hearts has got us. Whatever has got your heart has got you. If the world has got something of your heart, hasn't the world got you? In a sense. Maybe you're here in the congregation this morning and you're unsaved. And the world has got all of your heart. You're following in its ways. You're seeking its pleasures. And the world has you because the world has your heart. Well, here Barnabas comes and he's speaking here to those who have come to Christ, those who are believers, those who've got saved. And he says, with purpose of heart, you must cleave to the Lord. Let there be this resolve of the entire inward man. That's what he's saying. Because our conduct, let's face it, our conduct will be in strict accordance with the state of our heart. It'll be in strict accordance with the state of our heart. And if we have a heart that is holy, cleaving to the Lord, that will be manifested in our conduct, in all that we do and in all that we say. And so he's exhorting them here that with purpose of heart they would cleave on to the Lord, so that no matter what temptations they might face, no matter what discouragements might come, they will not forget that their only ground of acceptance before God is in Christ. Maybe I'm speaking to some believer here this morning and you've become greatly discouraged. You've had many, many things to face of late. And you've got discouraged to the point where you're almost beginning to question your standing with God. And the devil has been coming with strong temptations. In fact, you may have been under the weight of the discouragements that you have been facing and the difficulties that you have been in the midst of. You may have been somewhat depressed in spirit. And you're just beginning to wonder, are you still accepted before God? What is the ground of your acceptance? Never forget that as a believer in Christ, the ground of your acceptance before God is in Christ. That was so when you first came to Him, wasn't it? When you first believed on Him. What was the ground of your acceptance before God? It was the Lord Jesus and His finished work. That's still the ground of your acceptance. Despite all that you've been facing, despite all of the discouragements, despite all of the difficulties, you're accepted before God in Jesus Christ. And so the exhortation is coming to your heart to continue on with the Lord, with purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord, just that you might be encouraged. Continue cleaving to the Lord as the source of your strength from God. And don't we need strength in the midst of life's trials? Don't we need strength? Don't we need the mental strength? Don't we need the emotional strength? Don't we need the spiritual strength, the physical strength, as we face all of the trials in the Christian life? Sometimes we wonder in the midst of them, how will we cope? How will we get through? Well, here's the exhortation, with purpose of heart, that you cleave unto the Lord as the source of your strength. You see, the Apostle Paul understood that. So that whenever he's writing to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ. That is, all things that came to him in the pathway of duty. He had an assurance in his heart. He says, I can do all these things through Christ. The source of my strength. For remember the words in John 15, without me, and it really means severed from me or not continuing with me. The Lord reminds us we can do nothing. We can do nothing. And God had great designs for the church here at Antioch. There were going to be burdens, there were going to be responsibilities laid on the church at Antioch which no other Gentile church would have. But Barnabas wants them to know that Christ will be adequate for every demand in every situation that they may face. With their burdens, with their responsibilities. Can you see why there's the content here in this exhortation with purpose of heart that they would cleave on to the Lord? He wants them to be continuing on with the Lord as the Lord of their life. As the Lord of their life. He's really exhorting them to have Christ as Lord of their lives. And be conscious. Be conscious of his overruling hand. And it's good for us in the Christian life to have a consciousness. I mean a real consciousness of God's overruling hand. In his providence. And when we're conscious of God's overruling hand in things, then we find ourselves submitting to the Lord. Not trying to in some way rebel against the Lord, but we're acknowledging the Lord. And we're acknowledging his hand of providence. And we're in agreement. We're in agreement with him. We're in agreement with him. And we're so thankful that he is in control. We're so thankful that there's an overruling hand of providence in the life of every believer. Makes us have thankful hearts. So it's not surprising then that as Barnabas comes with this exhortation, it is that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Then that brings us in the third and final place, just to face the challenge of this, because it does present a challenge to us. And wherein lies the challenge? Well, I think we can see the challenge in the verses that follow, verse 24. Let's read from verse 24 to verse 26 for a moment. For he, that is Barnabas, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. I wonder why he'd have done that. Well, we're told for to seek Saul. But why would he want Saul? Saul of Tarsus. Why would he want him? We're told in verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Antioch in Syria, that is. This is the Syrian Antioch that we're looking at. But here is Barnabas coming with the exhortation, and we're told he's a good man, he's full of the Holy Ghost, he's full of faith, and much people. You know, that's translated much people means a large crowd. There were already a great number in verse 21 who had believed and turned to the Lord. But now, Barnabas has come. He has seen the grace of God, what the Lord has already done in the salvation of many, many souls. And now we're told that the Lord uses him. Much people was added unto the Lord. But then, as I said a moment ago, we find that he wants to find Saul of Tarsus. Now, he could have stayed at Antioch, couldn't he? He could have stayed at Antioch to, as it were, gather in the harvest himself. But here we're looking at someone full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Someone who's not out for self. He's not out for self. He's not out to try and make some kind of a name for himself. He realizes, in the light of all that's been taking place, that he needs assistance. That he needs help. But why Paul? Formerly Saul of Tarsus. Why him? Well, this is Antioch. It's a Gentile place. Gentile church here at Antioch. And Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And he no doubt recognized also that Paul had gifts that he did not have and had not been given by the Lord. And so he goes to get Paul, and Paul comes, and we're told they stay there for a year, and they teach the people that they would be built up and edified in the things of the Lord. We're looking at the challenge here. Barnabas exhorting the people to cleave with purpose of heart unto the Lord. He himself is so doing, as we've already seen. And the Lord uses him. The Lord uses him in a great way. For the glory of his own great name, that is the Lord's name. But this is the challenge to our hearts. That if we as the people of God will with purpose of heart cleave on to the Lord, follow on with the Lord, abide with the Lord, remain with him and remain close to him, will the Lord not then use us? Don't we need the Lord to use us in this day? You look around us today. Look around us on the Lord's Day, any Lord's Day. Look at the Sabbath desecration that there is. So many going about their ordinary business on the Lord's Day, careless, heedless, just as if God doesn't exist. It seems the fear of the Lord is not in the hearts of the people at all, that the fear of the Lord is not in the land almost. And we need the Lord to work. We need the Lord to come. Will he use us as his instruments? That's the challenge. He used Barnabas. And he used him greatly. He used him mightily. The interest here was deepening. It was increasing in Antioch. Because the Lord was at work. The Lord was doing great things. And we're told the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What does that mean? Well, one thing that it means is this, that they had an image that was Christ-like. That's just putting it simply. They had an image that was Christ-like. And so they are called Christians. Or we could put it like this. In the context of Barnabas' exhortation, they were so cleaving to Christ that they were called Christians, Christ's ones. That's quite a testimony, isn't it? Do you see the challenge? Are we so cleaving with purpose of heart to Christ that we would be leaving this kind of testimony? This kind of testimony? There all was Christ. There all was Christ, and Christ was their all, because with purpose of heart they were cleaving on to Him. It brings to mind the words of Paul to the Colossians in Colossians 3, when he said, Christ is all. Christ is all. Do we get concerned about the future? I mean the future of the Church of Jesus Christ. How will we safeguard the future? The way that you'll safeguard the future is by being concerned with the present. Being concerned with the present. And what did Barnabas want the present concern of these believers at Antioch to be? That with purpose of heart they would be cleaving unto the Lord. And he knew that that would take care of the future. And so, as it appears, that the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ, are on the march, let us find encouragement. Let us find encouragement, consolation for our hearts in this exhortation of Barnabas to the believers at Antioch, that they would cleave with purpose of heart unto the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we ask that Thou wilt take Thy truth this day and apply it to all our hearts in the power of Thy Spirit. Lord, may we have hearts as believers that are cleaving unto Thee. Oh, that we might have this testimony that we have a Christ-likeness because we are so doing. Lord, in the midst of all of the discouragement around us, we pray that our hearts this day will be encouraged. And we know that our hearts will be encouraged as we obey this exhortation with purpose of heart, that we cleave to Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.